Gabriel Pizza Hotline. We say good morning to Craig Button. How are you this morning, Craig?
I'm good, JR. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate you jumping on. I know this is your favorite time of year and a busy time of year for you. So I want to jump right to your final mock draft, which came out earlier this week. And I want to start with what you projected for Ottawa at number 10, and that is Swedish goaltender Jesper Wallstedt. Did you mock him to Ottawa based on the best player available at that spot scenario, or are you more looking at Ottawa and saying they could really use definitively a goalie in that position?
Listen, I know exactly who every team is going to draft. Like, seriously, like, come on, like, you think this is an exercise I take lightly, JR? Like,
okay, well then we won't do our special draft show tonight. We'll just phone you up.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, I just looked at it, and you know, I look at a prospect pool that's really good for the Ottawa Senators, and I don't see an elite goaltender there. So I thought it would be a nice fit. You know, I thought that goaltender Wallstedt, who is closer to playing than not, you know, and when you look at what he's been able to do in the SHL, I mean, you want to evaluate players and you want to gain confidence in their abilities and as you project them to be NHLers. And when they perform at levels that are closer to the NHL than further away, you know, it gives you a little bit more confidence. So, I know they have a number of goaltenders in the system, but in my estimation, in my judgment, they don't have any goaltender of the caliber of Jesper Wallstedt.
Craig, a little housekeeping first. It used to be at the World Junior, we'd all sit in the same room, drink all night, and everybody would tell who they were going to draft. Have you been doing Zoom calls with like a wine tasting in order to get the information? What's been your tactic of choice?
Listen, you know, it's funny you say that, though, Sean, because, you know, like one of the things, you know, spending time with the NHL personnel, whether it be at the Combine, whether it be the Memorial Cup, whether, you know, down the last half of the season, as you mentioned, right, you know, people ask and you talk and everything, and, you know, that's been absent the last couple of drafts. And, you know, it's not only been absent for me, it's been absent for all the NHL teams. So, you know, that intel, that knowledge that you gather, you know, through osmosis, you know, it's just, it's absent. So, again, like, it's one of those things when you're looking at the draft and you're looking at the players, you know, you look at who the players are that are, you know, in that category and in that range of the draft. But it wouldn't surprise me to see some different players drafted, some trades happening, because teams just don't have the same level of confidence. And they might just say, hey, this is the guy we have confidence in, we're going to draft him, rather than somebody they're not so sure about.
Because of COVID, Craig, and just basically this kind of draft, not saying it's bad, but would you look at a year like this where probably everybody's going to head back to junior college or Europe, that we might have a year where there's nobody playing in the NHL?
Oh, yeah, I would. Well, that is a main reason. And number two, I don't see very many players. You know, we can talk about Owen Power. Is he ready to play? Yeah, he is. I think he'd benefit going back for another year of college. But outside of him, I don't see any players that are ready to play in the NHL. I don't see any players that are even close to being able to play in the NHL. So you combine the fact that the last 13 months, 16 months, you know, there hasn't been a real opportunity to play. Yeah, Sean, get them right back to their respective teams where they're going to play this year and get playing.
Craig, back to just your thoughts on Wallstedt. You mentioned that you think he might be, you know, decently close to being able to play at the NHL. The typical development timeline for a goalie, even a highly ranked one, can be, you know, 4 or 5 years before they become an established NHLer. Why do you think that his skill set might lead him to be able to play in the NHL sooner than that?
It's not a skill set. It's his technical ability. You know, and goaltenders are like pitchers. You have to learn how to pitch. You have to learn how to goaltend. And I think with Jesper Wallstedt and Sebastian Kosa, I don't think there's any forward or defenseman you can draft that's going to have where they're not going to be along a similar development time path. Technically, I mean, he's played in the SHL. You watch a goaltender like Wallstedt or Kosa play, they have real good understanding of the technical aspects of the game. It's not just about their athletic ability and, yes, that's a necessary element, but they're patient in the net. They're calm in the net. They read the play. They got calm feet, quiet mind. And, you know, that's where that's what you need to do to move forward. And you're right, JR, the vast majority of cases, the goaltenders need more time, not less, but not in these two guys' case. They're right there with any forward or defense when you're going to draft in terms of, in my view, of where their development finds them getting to the NHL. They're not 4 or 5 years away.
Yeah, and
They're Vasilevsky-like.
Okay, and that was part of my question, Craig, a twofold, when people said, you know, Ottawa shouldn't do it. I asked two questions. One, and I focus more on Wallstedt because I don't know the other fellow as well, is he better than anything Ottawa has in their system? And two, is he quite simply blue chip to the point that he's better than any of the other positional players around him at the draft?
Well, okay, so a couple of things I'm going to say before I get that.
Yeah.
The last four teams playing in the National Hockey League, their goaltenders were all drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
All four of them. Right? So like, so now we're going to sit here, that, and that's Varlamov, Vasilevsky, Price, and Fleury. They're all drafted in the first round. So this idea that you can't draft goaltenders in the first round is garbage. It's stupid. Okay? And it's not about, you don't, they don't have any goal. In my view, the Ottawa Senators don't have any goaltender that are as good as Wallstedt or Kosa.
Okay.
That's how I look at it, right? And blue chip, I think these guys are number one goaltenders.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not saying there's not a forward or a goaltender that you wouldn't consider, a forward or a defenseman you wouldn't consider. But these two guys, absolutely you consider. And, you know, they got a good defense group. They got a good forward group. And, you know, I don't know why people want to say don't draft a goaltender in the first round. I really do. I really think it's stupid. It's a stupid narrative.
TSN draft analyst Craig Button. So, Craig, including you, most people seem to have the same nine skaters going in the top nine spots. Like, there doesn't seem to be, you know, anybody that is below that in terms of skaters that people see jumping into the top nine. So, if Ottawa doesn't go goalie, which of the rest of the Chaz Michaels, Brennan Othman, Cole Sillinger, which of those players do you like the best?
Well, I mean, they're all good players. I mean, I don't think any of those four defensemen will be there. I just don't. I don't see Power Edvinson, Luke Hughes, or Brant Clark being there. So, you know, that might you know, muddy the waters a little bit if one of those guys got there. I mean, I like the Senators' blue line, but those four guys are really, really good in my view, but I don't see a scenario where they end up being at 10 when the Senators pick. Now, you start to go, now you got a different types of players. I mean, Cole Sillinger is different than Brennan Othman, but I mean, Cole Sillinger is just a really smart, play anywhere you want, do anything you ask type of player. There's not a lot of flash and dash to him. Brennan Othman, to me, plays the game like Gabriel Landeskog. Chaz Lucius is a really good goal scorer coming off of some injuries, and so you get a whole breadth of players. Matthew Coronato, in my view, is the best goal scorer in the draft. So you start to look at a number of players that could be available there, and you know they all bring something different. But I think they're all very good. You know, you start to look at center icemen. Do you want to look at a center iceman? I mean, Cole Sillinger, center, left wing. Chaz Lucius, center, right wing, maybe at the NHL level. You know, Mason McTavish is a center. You know, I was having fun earlier in a mock draft, and I had him going to Ottawa. I just don't see that happening either. So, you know, you start to look and just try to find somebody that fits in your forward group that adds a real significant element. And I think any one of those guys that I just mentioned are real good players and would be real strong fits.
With the way the draft now sets up, Craig, not back to the old one day, 9-12 rounds, you have a reset. We know how much fun within the industry it is to have those picks at the top of the second round. How excited should Ottawa be once again of having a couple of picks early on in day two?
Yeah, no, I think that Sean, there's depth right into the second round. And let me qualify what I mean by depth. Top forwards that can play in your top two lines, defensemen that can play in your top two pairs, and some goalies that could be number ones. And so again, that's quality. When you can select players that have those types of attributes and have that type of potential, I mean, you have more picks rather than less. That's a real positive. So, you know, you look at last year, you know, they draft Roby Juventy and they trade up to get Tyler Cleven. And, you know, those are players that have real nice qualities to their game, and they're going to need a little time to continue to develop. But that's what I'm saying about, like, you know, just you put a stake in the ground. We like Tyler Cleven. We like Roby Yarventie, and we're going to be patient with them, and we're going to allow them to grow and develop. But, you know, 6'4" defensemen and 6'2" scoring wingers, they're not very common.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get those opportunities with more picks, you really can stock the cupboards very nicely.
With Craig Button, Craig, of the top nine skaters that you have in the night, which one do you think, if there's going to be a guy that falls out of that top nine that maybe Ottawa might have a shot at, which one, for whatever reason, do you think may be the guy that teams might pass on?
Oh, geez, that's a good question, JR. You know, I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, you know, could it be Kent Johnson? You know, perhaps. I mean, he could be one of them. I don't see him moving past Vancouver if he's there, unless one of those defensemen fall. You know, like you start to look at it. Honestly, I don't know. I honestly don't know. That's a stumper.
What a great question by me. Way to go, me! Yeah. I stumped Craig Button.
Well, I mean, it's just I try to make the case. Could it be Luke Hughes? Perhaps it could be Luke Hughes. Could it be Brant Clark? It could be Brant Clark. I guess those are the two guys that I would that I might say would get there. In my view, I think it would surprise me significantly just based on the way I project their skill. But I could see those guys. So I'd probably, and again, if Kent Johnson, if Luke Hughes and Brant Clark are slipping to 10, that means Kent Johnson is not getting to 9, which means that Luke Hughes becomes an interesting player for the Vancouver Canucks. So, you know, with his brother Quinn being there, and a team that absolutely needs defensemen. So, I mean, I guess it would come down to Brant Clark or Luke Hughes. Those would be the two guys that I would say.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's the wild card to me, Craig, would be if Wallstad goes at 6 to Detroit, then you bump everybody down. Not that they've reinvented the wheel here in Ottawa, but are people within the industry starting to take notice of the plan? But more importantly, is Trent Mann starting to make a name for himself within the industry of what now becomes one hell of a drafting record the last 4 years here?
Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding, Sean. And, you know, when you're drafting quality players, and you know, and we can look at Tim Stützle, and we can look at Brady Tkachuk, and, you know, everybody, oh, yeah, well, it's easy in the top. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not easy to pick at 3, and it's not easy to pick at 5.
Yeah.
So people will say that, but you look deeper down, deep down through the draft, there's really good players and really good prospects, and, you know, it's outside the first round where there's been real success, and Trent's done a real, real terrific job of identifying players. And Pierre Dorion's done a real good job of acquiring picks.
Craig, final, I just want to get your thoughts on the Glass for Patrick trade, because a while ago Glass was untouchable. They gave Suzuki before him, and now thoughts on where both of those guys are at?
Well, I mean, I think it's as straightforward as this. I mean, Kelly McCrimmon had Nolan Patrick with the Brandon Wheat Kings. Yeah. He knows him really well, so he's put his love to Nolan Patrick, and you know, Nolan Patrick to me has a lot to prove. I mean, bottom line is Nolan Patrick has become a player that I think is marginal. Yeah. Kelly McCrimmon's going to bet on that because he knows the kid and whatnot. I get it. Same thing with Brett Howden. And Brett Howden's a deeper down the forward depth chart forward, and but he knows him from Manitoba. They're just becoming Manitoba down in Vegas, I think. But, you know, I'll be straightforward with you. I wouldn't have traded Cody Glass for Nolan Patrick.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Okay. Busy night ahead for you. Busy weekend. Lots of analysis through TSN television as well and SportsCenter. Always appreciate your time and your insight, Craig. And glad I was able to stump you for once. That's a feather in my cap. So enjoy the draft.
JR, do you know what the real question is? I'm not why you haven't done it before, because I'm not that hard to stump.
Well, now the next time we talk to you, now I'm really going to have to put some thought to it. I want to do it again now that I've done it once. Appreciate your time, Craig. Enjoy the draft.